Welcome to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. Organizations used to send expensive field teams to check on their assets. Then came drones, which captured detailed imagery in hours, not days. But the real breakthrough came when drones were fused with geospatial technology. The result? Instant maps, 3D models, and actionable insights. From construction sites to city planning, businesses are discovering their drone surveys can do far more than they imagined. Esri's Matt Ball explains how geospatial technology transforms simple drone flights into powerful decision-making tools.
Mapping is the highest value that a drone operator would be because it fits neatly into a workflow. These are things that people are already doing. The drone really extends the organization and provides an entirely new perspective.
Matt Ball explains to Esri's Karen Sullivan why drones are becoming an essential tool for local governments and businesses.
Hi, Matt. Welcome to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Okay, so drones, they are really changing the world. Let's start by talking about what you've learned about these unmanned aerial vehicles.
It's been so amazing that drones really provide a perspective. And so immediately when they came onto the market as a commercial product, the mapping community just loved it. From the very early days of even balloons in the air, the mapping people were like, this is what I need. Because an image really is a map, and then you can constantly collect these images to know how things change. So drones were naturally a mapping platform, but it's just taken quite a while for them to really be part of an everyday workflow. Boy, we're there now. The drone really extends the person or the organization and provides an entirely new perspective. They're a real natural fit for geographic information systems technology, which is really a decision support system that revolves around mapping, but the map is constantly changing the way the world is constantly changing. And in the past, we've had great difficulty to update that map. It's of high cost if you're capturing it from an airplane or a satellite. But with a drone, you have great flexibility to fly that in a specific place that you have an interest in and to get a real high resolution return that flows right into your decision-making platform in GIS to fit into your workflows. So if you're in public safety, you want to know where the people are, where the problem is. You have this shared view that is the map. We call it a situational awareness that improves your response time, ensures people are safe, and deals with the incidents at hand. Or you're a utility, and you may have an issue with this pipeline, with the high-tension wire, and you want to check that out. You send the drone, and it knows where to go, relatively speaking, and you can zoom into that area, share that awareness with the people that need to do the work, and then deal with that issue. In agriculture, it's a huge input now to get to a precision way of farming, to put the inputs where they're needed, to put the fertilizer there, the pesticides there to deal with issues, to make sure that they're well watered. And in precision agriculture, you get to that precision with a drone that then sends that prescription to the machine with the operator often having to do very little. We're getting to an autonomous way of doing things thanks to drones, and they have huge rates of return that reduce crop cost, reduce risk, and provide whole new opportunities.
And I guess they're giving us a better view than other forms of remotely sensed imagery.
That's a really good point. They can get so much closer to things than the satellites that are up in the air, the Earth observation satellites that are really, they're really important. They can have different kinds of sensors, not only the imaging sensors that really equate to an inch. You can see things down to the scale of an inch, and nothing really can compare to that in the Earth observation realm. And they can do so much to see the change, to see even the non-visible spectrum of light that reveals all sorts of new dimensions. For instance, in agriculture, there are sensors that have the non-visible waves of light that let you detect how green things are, how much the crop is thriving, or there are thermal sensors that can show in an industrial area where you might have heat, which indicates that there are problems with that machine, or individuals that are lost in the woods, you can detect and see them through their heat signature. So there's amazing things that they open up to really let you see things and gain a new perspective.
And I could see that would be really helpful in public safety if we're talking about monitoring traffic or events and for infrastructure such as bridges. But drones are also being used by businesses. Which ones seem to be getting the most value from them?
The value proposition is really an interesting element because they're really about reducing risk in so many places, doing things faster, safer, and more cheaply than you could do before. In so many places, they may have used a helicopter in the past and come to find it's $3,000 an hour to run a helicopter. You can buy a drone for that same cost and kind of do the same thing. Have one person out in the field fly a drone, share that awareness, and they're the only one that needs to be there. And that's critical in like large spread out infrastructure. Say you have a huge pipeline and you need to zone in on that area. Instead of sending a whole team 2 hours, 400 miles away, send the nearest person with the drone and they take a image, they inspect the whole thing, try to determine where the issue might be, share that with the whole, and then rally the folks there to fix any problems. Or in forestry, that's another good example. Huge tracts of land, thousands of acres. Let's check on that. And it even comes down to that individual forester. It's a rainy day. He needs to go out in the field, doesn't want to slog through the torrential downpour. But the drone's going to do a good job. And he just sits in his cab, sends that drone from the bed of his truck, and he has a real good view that not only he can see, but those back in the office can see to deal with any issues that are there.
And you mentioned reducing risk. How do drones help with that?
Yeah, there are so many issues that are unsafe areas. In the oil and gas industry, I saw a recent presentation that really blew my mind, where they're in a refinery and there are noxious chemicals, issues in the air. There's great risk to safety, but they need to check on something. And they can send a drone and not worry about that individual safety. And then again, they can share that across. It's not just one person seeing it. It's that drone going out there and collecting that so everyone has an awareness of what the issue is at hand. In the construction industry, there's a great deal of risk too that's more of a long-term issue. They have really heavy equipment and maybe it causes cracks in the pavement. Later on, someone needs to repave that place and the construction company could be liable. What they are doing there is they are recording every action with the drone over time to show exactly what they did and to reduce their liability for things that may have gone wrong so that they don't have that cost, don't incur that cost. So it really, that's a different sense of risk management where it's really the long view. This is what we did and how we did it. We have documented this very carefully. You can go back and look and see there wasn't that crack there when we left that site.
That type of documentation, I'm sure that can be valuable as a historical record also, where partners or others in an organization want to go back and take a look at each step so that they can coordinate work together. Are you seeing that as well?
Absolutely. And I think the utility space is one of those areas where inspection and maintenance has to happen. There's even some regulatory compliance. If it's a pipeline, that you have to show that you have regular monitoring going on because there are environmental impacts. And sending up a drone to inspect the towers. Certainly a lot of Western wildfires have been pinned on failures of transmission lines. You gather all that information for that whole corridor, be it a pipeline or the transmission line, and you have a sense of the condition. What's changing around that pipeline is the vegetation. Vegetation management is a huge cost to all these large utilities. You've got to make certain that the trees aren't encroaching, that if there's an ice storm, a limb doesn't fall on the high tension wire. You need to really be aware of those changes because they could really impact the health and the viability of that critical infrastructure.
It's really interesting how drones have found a place in business and in so many settings, but we're not necessarily talking about the drone that you see people using in the park.
And they're used quite a bit in real estate. This is the land. This is the house. Look how beautiful this is. It provides an interesting perspective. Or in movies and films, we see a lot of footage that's really remarkable these days. And before, that would not have been possible, right? Helicopter rotors would get in the way of like even being able to hear the actor. And they're being used in so many different places. One thing that I found fascinating, too, was that mapping is the highest value that a drone operator would be. Many small businesses, someone buys a drone and they say they're going to sell that service. And all the other things that we've talked about in terms of real estate or construction monitoring, those are the low-hanging fruit. Mapping is a higher return than some of those other areas because it fits neatly into a workflow. These are things that people are already doing to know change, to apply that tool to a real need. And there is a higher value return that you get from that, but there's also a higher investment you need to make. You would need that better sensor, that higher accuracy to get that full detail. In terms of mapping platforms, I think one of the most interesting evolutions of drones is that there are fixed-wing aircraft, very similar to the airplanes we know, and then there are rotor aircraft. But the mix of the two is happening at great scale. They call them vertical takeoff and landing drones that can take off from one single spot, then convert, fly like a plane, can convert back to maybe hover in place to really take a close look at thing, and then go back to an airplane mode. That kind of evolution is huge for the delivery of things, but it's also really important for mapping so that you can zoom in to an area of interest, stay there, make certain you've captured what you need, and then go back to mapping so you see something else that needs attention. Flip that vehicle into that helicopter mode, zoom in, stay stable, and really make certain that you've captured the detail that you need.
You've mentioned that mapping is the greatest return that drones can provide. How does that help with what we know as the last mile delivery problem?
That last mile is often the most expensive in the whole supply chain because it's getting it from the warehouse to that individual. There are certain times of day you have to deliver it. You have to navigate traffic. You have to get things probably to difficult places often. And drones are filling that gap for a lot of retailers. They're being tested and they have been approved by the Federal Aviation Administration to deliver goods to people. There are several markets where that happens on a regular basis. The vertical takeoff and landing drone is again being used to pick up something, fly it to the place, hover in place, and lower it. There's a specific company that excites me. It's called Zipline, where they've made more than 1 million deliveries in this way. What they do is they fly 300 feet above. The beauty of that is you're not going to hear the drone. You know, who wants 20 drones in their neighborhood buzzing away, scaring the wildlife, creating issues in your Zoom calls? And they stay remote 300 feet above. They have a tethered box that comes down on a wire. That box has a propeller, so if it's windy, they can stay in one place. They can pick up and deliver on the size of a plate. So you could be in your backyard and say, I want this right in front of my shed office, my shoffice. Or maybe you want it at the front door and they can deliver exactly where you desire.
That's fascinating that we can get that kind of precision with drones. Does that mean people might have greater access to transplants or organ donation?
That's a really good point. It definitely means that things of high value, of high reward, can be delivered directly where needed, when needed. And the life-saving element of a transplant, consider traffic, other issues, you can get that exactly to the roof more quickly, more cheaply than a helicopter that couldn't take off and land from maybe the accident site. I hate to be morbid, but where time is of the essence to make a good use of that organ for someone else's life. In important medicines, so again, in the medical sphere, in places that are remote, and drones are ideal for that kind of thing. Responding to disasters is another one where loss of life and safety are a huge issue. And drones are being used across the world, but they have a huge impact in the developing world where they may not have the infrastructure or airports even in some of these remote areas. And a drone can take off and land where other things can't and provide that exact same perspective. So they do have a huge role to play in making people safer and supporting life.
So yes, drones can do so much, but it's not like buying a bike where you hop on and start riding. What's important to know if someone is keen on working with drone technology?
To be a drone operator, you need to be licensed by the Federal Aviation Administration. So there is a process to become a certified drone pilot. And then you need to think about it as an enterprise asset. It's just not for this specific purpose. It's looking more broadly at how you can justify the cost and make it in an operational entity that you're going to use in the day-to-day.
How are cities using drones?
We've recently run a story on the Esri blog about the city of Salem, and their public works department really wanted a drone. They wanted a drone to check on things, to see how well they were delivering a service, to respond to things such as flooding. They had a major ice storm, and they wanted to assess the damage. So they saw the need for this on a regular basis, but it wasn't an immediate buy the drone, do the thing. They had to go through the legal department to make certain that there wasn't liability they hadn't considered, to really put together a whole enterprise plan for the use of these things, to reduce the municipality's risk, to decide how many pilots they were going to certify, how many drones, what types of drones they were going to operationalize. And that kind of thing happens across municipalities, across utilities, that they really need to think about it as an enterprise tool and make plans for it. What are its operational uses? What are the liabilities and risks that they need to factor? What are the regulations internally that they want to put in place? And then even how will those be used by different facets of the organization? What I love about the Salem story is the public works department set up their drone program as drones as a service. So other departments could request and they would have that discussion. Sometimes the thing that you would collect for one department would be really useful for others. So they made certain that data, those images were available to all. And so they put together an image repository that everyone could look at. We haven't really spoken about drones and AI and the connection there, but that is a critical connection. You have that whole body of images, all the images you've taken. One person is not going to be able to view all that data, but AI can be put to the task to learn the thing that you're worried about. Say it's a tank in an oil in an oil refinery process. It has rust on the roof, and you want to know if there are any issues. But you have thousands of takes. So you put AI to the task of knowing a rusted roof with a hole in it, and you apply that knowledge to all of the images of tanks. You determine that there are 10 tanks that need attention, and then you can send people to do the work exactly where it's needed. In Vilnius, Lithuania, the capital of Lithuania, they really have an evolution of how drones are being used. They send drones after, say, a big snowstorm to check and see that the streets have been plowed. They use AI looking at that imagery to assess that, color code the map. We're still red here. Send a plow. And that really hits the citizens' need. What I love about Vilnius is they've embraced this so much that they say they want to get to the place with drones, AI, and GIS to anticipate the citizens' question and deal with that issue before they even get the question. I think that's a little ambitious, but they've made great strides already that have increased their efficiency and ultimately the livability of the place and the satisfaction of the city resident.
Matt, this is really fascinating to learn about how drones have really found an important place in our culture. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you, Karen. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. And thanks to Matt Ball. If you like this episode, please share it with a colleague.